Father, I want to thank you all. Thank you to all the same people here, but again, for all that you've done for us and supporting us while we've been down there. I think we're looking at almost 4 years of being down there. And I came up for my dad's funeral, of course, and also we need to take advantage and try to get my wife's birth certificate so we can work on our residency. We've been going in and out of the country every 90 days, going to Mexico, and it was just fine doing that until COVID, and now we have to get, every time we go, test, every time we go back and forth, and it's really difficult, you know, with kids. They really, I don't know if you've ever gotten one of those tests, but man, they stick it all the way up to the back of your neck almost, it feels like, and it's just the hassle of it and the expense, and we just really need to be there more stable. One answer to prayer, real miracle, is that they took away the vaccination mandate. So that was a real blessing. We don't have to get vaccinated. And we're really excited about that. Other missionaries as well, because a lot of them relied on teams coming down and helping them. And that all dried up because, you know, who their circle of friends were, all these anti-vaccine people. And so that didn't work out too well. But praise the Lord, they took that away. And so we got all our paperwork rejected, our first intent. We're going to try one more time. And we found some more papers we can use. The detail is getting papers that have her name and her birthplace that are more than 10 years old. That's the thing. They have to be more than 10 years old. I don't know why. So all of our marriage certificate and our kids' birth certificate, those aren't valid because we haven't been married or had kids for more than 10 years. So we found some other things, like her. My father-in-law had tried it before, so he had some paperwork, and I have some paperwork that they did accept. So that's what we're doing. And I also just like being around you all and spending some time here. It's been a real good time. Church down there isn't doing too great right now. It wasn't doing too great when I left. Very carnal people. Just trying to get them living righteously and doing what the Bible says is very difficult. They don't understand. They don't hardly understand their own language. So you can't really get the. They don't understand hardly anything in the Bible you teach them, and they don't read their Indian dialect. It's only audio for them. They can only talk it. They can't read it. And it's such a simple language that they wouldn't even understand, even if you read their Indian Bible to them. Very simple people. That's why important kids learn how to read. Okay? Learn how to read so you can understand God's word and grow your vocabulary. Because it actually will affect you later on in making decisions. And so it's a very difficult field with that aspect. Like to say that lots of people are getting saved and baptized. We did have one salvation right before I left, a young girl that had been coming to church since the very get-go. She had made a profession of faith before, but I knew she wasn't saved. And just kept preaching. Finally, she raised her hand to get saved like Sunday before I left. So that was really encouraging. And we have had some baptisms. A lot of them are coming up to the States. Everyone's come to the States just last week. Another one that I'd baptized came to the States. I got two in Shelton, Washington, I guess it'd be. And I got some other, and one here in Rooster. What is it called? Rooster. What's that place called, Daniel? Rooster. And he's baptized and was one of the best kids I had. And he came to the States. They don't tell me they're coming to the States till after they already leave. They know I'm going to tell them not to, but they're really bad. They really think it's all wonderful up here. And next week I'm going to be going, Lord willing, to California to visit some other goats I have down there that ran away and try to get them into a church there. One of them made a profession of faith, and I pray for the other ones are children of people that do come to church very faithfully, and I want to pray for them every day, and been, I had witness to them while they were there, and I figured I might as well take advantage of the trip and work on them while they're here. There's a lot of times when they get here, they're a little bit more susceptible, and they're trying to start off anew and trying to start things off right, and being in a different environment, they're not so cocky, not so proud, and so that's what's going on. That, so sick, got this cold that lasts forever, so that's why she's not here today, but Lord willing, able to get back soon. Lord will show us whether he wants us to keep trying, get legal, or just go back and do things how we've been doing it. But yeah, appreciate all that you guys do for us, and also want to thank you for all your help towards us when we lost the baby. That was a real hard time. I really appreciate your guys' help with that, especially sending Missy and Daniel down there to help us out. That was real blessing. We didn't know what else to do. Right now I have a young man covering for me, and he goes there on the weekends. He's 8 hours away, about 9 hours probably for him, the way he drives, a little slow. And he's been doing that since I left, real wonderful young man, single. But also, this week, someone sent me a picture of a prayer letter of a family who are trying to be missionaries to Guatemala. Out of the blue, they just sent me this picture and phone number. I called the guy up and trying to figure out what his plans were. He's a Mexican. He's from the state that's closest to Guatemala, so he's probably about 4 hours away from the border of Guatemala, so he's pretty relatively close. And so I called him up and said, hey, what's your plans? And he just said, well, I'm trying to go to Guatemala, and I'm planning on taking my wife down there to go spy out the country and figure out where the Lord would have us. And I said, well, I think I know where you can go if you want to go. And he was really surprised to be able to get an option to go so quickly. I told him I'd support him, and if he would just try to cover for me on Sundays, and he could go use my car and go exploring in the areas that he was interested in. And so it seems like that was a real wonderful thing, at least if he gets to get on the field a lot quicker and helps me out at the same time. So that was a real interesting thing. I don't know if how the Lord will direct in that, but so far I think it'll at least help him be able to get on the field sooner. So that was a real blessing. I think that's all the news I have about Guatemala. But let's go now to Acts 20:32. Acts 20:32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. It's command to build you up, to give you an inheritance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that it'd be something that we use to build up our lives. Thank you for the inheritance that you've given to us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our parents. And Lord, I pray that you please work in this message, and that we would build our lives off of your word. And thank you for the conference that we just were able to partake of. And I ask that your word would find root in our hearts. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my dad's funeral, I wanted to say a lot of things. I just wasn't the time to say it all there at his funeral, but I was, one of the things I was thinking about on the airplane here is how my dad was a starter. He was the first person in his family, recent family, obviously, to get saved. He was a starter with starting things in Spanish. It wasn't Hispanic churches, really, in the States. It was one of the first ones. He was a starter with getting tracts into Spanish. He was one of the first ones designing tracts in Spanish. You know, simple tracts, comic-type tracts, people, things that simple people would read. He was one of the first people who started a Bible Institute. Then it was college. It was all college. He didn't really like that idea of sending his people to college and getting them rewired over there. And he wanted to train them at home at the church there and send them out from there. And he started that off. He started off the homeschool thing. Obviously, he wasn't the first one who did homeschool, but to get Hispanic people to do it, he sure was. That was unheard of for to have you heard of a white family doing it, but getting Latinos to homeschool their kids, they just never even thought of that. It was so unheard of that mommy could do that, after all she used to, take care of the goats back home, and she never really studied that much, but giving families the tools they needed. And so a lot of things he did was things that he was a starter. I don't know, anyone here was relatively the first people in your family to get saved? First people, 1, 2, 3. Obviously probably not the first ones ever in your whole lineage. Obviously that wouldn't be possible, but relatively. And you know what? People that are starters, there's no way of knowing how you're starting, how you're following Christ is going to affect the destination of, you don't even know how many it's going to affect. You have no way of calculating how many lives are going to be affected, how many destinations, how eternal destinations are going to be changed because you decide to be a starter. How do we start engines? How do we start engines? What do we use to start engines? Boy, you should know. What do you call it? What do you call that thing that turns the engine around?
A key.
A key, oh, bang. A starter, right? You use a starter, a little motor to turn on a great big motor, right? That's the power. A little tiny motor can turn on a great big huge excavator, a great big bulldozer. That's the power of a starter. Little spark can start a fire, right? And that's the power at a starter. Who do we know as a father of our faith? Who do we call him? What's his name? Father of our faith. Abram was a father of our faith, wasn't he? Now tell me this. How many miracles did Abraham do? You do any miracles? Dry any great bodies of water? Call down fire from heaven? Did he heal anyone? Didn't do any of that. But we call him the father of our faith. Let's look at here in Romans 4:1. What was Abraham's claim to fame? Romans 4:1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertained to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham what? Believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham didn't do anything, any great big things, but he believed God. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He believed God, and he was a starter. Think he had any fruit? Any fruit come from that? Let's look in Galatians. Galatians 3:7. Galatians 3:7 says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of who? Abraham." So, do you think he had any fruit? Imagine a census in heaven. You guys know what a census is? Census. Isaiah, what's a census? Know what a census is? We're going to do a census, okay? You ready? Here's how we're going to do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. We just did a census. We counted everyone, and we found out there's 47 people here tonight, today, this morning, tonight, this afternoon, 1 o'clock. We did a census. We counted everyone up, okay? That's a census. So we're going to do a census in heaven, okay? Everyone here that Pastor Yant led to the Lord, you're here today in heaven because Pastor Yant led you to the Lord. Raise your hand. They're counting everyone. How many people Pastor Yant led to the Lord? Okay, we're going to see how many lives are here because of Pastor Derek. And they're there counting everyone. They're going to count some people in Thailand, some Brother Joel back there. Brother Joel, how many lives are affecting their counting? And then they get to bigger people's names, like Spurgeon. Yeah. Great preacher Spurgeon. How many lives are here because of what Pastor Spurgeon did? Counting people. Wow, a lot of people. You know. And they go to Charles Finney, and they do that. They're doing a census. They're counting up how many people are in heaven. And then they come to Abraham. How many people's lives are here because of what Abraham did? Everybody raises their hand. Everybody's lives were affected by the faith of one what? Starter. By one starter. Know the Micaiah, the name of the message? Starters, steppers, and stoppers. Got that? Starters, steppers, and stoppers. All the power of a starter. I say he had fruit. Imagine him. That night, starry night, talking to God out there, looking up into heaven, and, oh, God, I left Ur. I was really impressed with what Brother Cloud said about Ur. I didn't know that, you know, just to be like the Dubai of the world back then. Just a magnificent city, just an amazing, civilized place, and God called Abraham out of Ur. And, oh, God, what are you going to give me here in this desert? I just have my tent and my wife, and we're living here. We left everything. Oh, what's my impact? What's the purpose in my life? Is it going to have any purpose, God? Am I really going to be doing anything out here? And God says, Abraham, look up. Count the stars. Oh, I can't count the stars. Like, that's the impact you're going to have. And all of us who have left our comfort zone, have done something that, I mean, my dad, you know, he left his career, and he was designing missiles to shoot down those Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles in North Korea. He was out there in the islands designing missiles to shoot down. That was a pretty noble project, you know. Like, oh God, you know, I'm doing a pretty good thing out here in these islands. You know, this is probably, it's paying well and everything, and oh man. And you want me to leave all that, and you want me to go preach to a bunch of Mexicans? Am I going to have any impact? I mean, I can hardly speak Spanish. Just imagine God telling him, you know, look up at the stars. You want to see how much your impact is? That's the power of a starter. All of us who are starters might not be the first ones who got saved, but the first ones who left your comfort zone and did something for God, you have no idea how many people you're going to impact. You have no way of calculating it, all because you're a star. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:2. 2 Timothy 1:2. 2 Timothy 1:2. Second Timothy 1:2 says, To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, desiring greatly to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. So here's Grandma Lois. Grandma Lois, oh, Granny Lois. And she's, oh, I'm kind of old. And, you know, I don't know what impact I'm going to have, but I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I don't know what I'm going to do, what impact that's, what little old me can have. But then guess what? Her daughter, Eunice, got saved. And then little Timothy got saved. And then how many thousands of people got saved, all because there was one, what? One starter, wasn't there? Where would we be right now if someone hadn't started? Where would we be? I don't think Dad Bond was the first one in his family to get saved. I think his dad was saved, pretty sure. But he was definitely one of the first ones who did a lot of things. He started homeschool. He started this church here. He did a lot of things that were not normal back then. He was a starter in a lot of ways. And where would we be right now had he not started? You know why Satan makes it so seemingly meaningless and so uncomfortable to do something against the grain? Like soul winning, like starting a new ministry and doing something that people don't usually do. Because he knows you're not just starting a ministry. He knows you're not just leading one soul to Christ. He knows you're starting starters. You're starting something that is like a cancer. It just goes and goes and goes and goes. A good cancer. It just reaches and reaches and reaches. It's like a seed. Just keeps reproducing. And that's why he doesn't like that. Might not be a Christian that calls down fire from heaven or moves heaven and earth with your prayers. But just starting something, being that starter, you have no way of calculating what your impact is. Just like Abraham. Thank God for starters. But you know what? This church, well, it's a pretty young church, but has a lot of young people in it. But it's had quite some many years of existing. And you know what? This church isn't just built off of starters. The starters had kids. I'm one of them. And we're not the people that had to call mom and dad and say, "Hey mom, hey dad, I became a Christian. And you know, I'm so excited. I'm going to go to heaven." Like my dad did. Andrew Lewis, my brother-in-law. You know, those two, they had their parents call the shrink, had call the psychologist, and got an appointment for their kids at the psychologist because they thought they had gone nuts. We didn't have to make those uncomfortable calls and say, "Hey, you know what? I just became a Christian and I don't really know what it means, but that's just awesome." We didn't have to do those uncomfortable things, most of us, because we're not starters. We have the ability to step off of the faith of the starters. We're called the steppers. We should be called the steppers. We didn't have an early life of ignorance where we didn't know the Bible. We didn't know Jesus. We didn't know what was right and what was wrong per se. And we made a whole bunch of bad decisions and we got saved later on in life and we couldn't live our life to its full potential. We were still suffering with the consequences of sin because of our ignorance. And me and you, most of us here sitting down, we were born into a Christian family. We didn't have an opportunity to mess up. We got saved at an early age. And we heard the Bible since we were little, and we knew what was important, what was important to God, and we had a eternal vision. And we knew what was sowing to the flesh and what was sowing to the spirit, and we could discern those things because we were taught the Bible at such a young age. And we were able to build off of that. We were able to take a bigger bite out of God's promises and to believe God and do something greater and step off of the foundation of the starters. I don't know, you guys know who David Gibbs is? David Gibbs, a couple of heads. He's a lawyer. He started the Christian Law Foundation, Christian Law Firm, I don't know. Association, there you go. And he, just tremendous stories. He, I don't know how so many things can happen to one guy. Just, he's a really good storyteller. I wish I could be like him. He's just amazing stories of things he's seen God do in his life. And I think the best story I like the most is the story about his mama. How his mama, she got polio when he was a boy. He's the oldest, I believe. And she was in the hospital, I think, for 3 years in the hospital, just hanging on to dear life. And slowly she was able to leave the hospital, but she was completely paralyzed. She was completely paralyzed. And she came home and she said, you know what? They had devotions for the first time as a family. And she said, you know what? Kids, I want you to pray that I'll be able to do something for God. I want you to pray that I'll be able to do something for God. And they're just looking at her. You know, they had a tire in the end of the wheelchair, and she had to feed her and had to do everything for her. And how are you going to be able to do anything for God? Was what they were thinking. The pastor came by to visit her the first time since she's been back, and he said, Mrs. Gibbs, I don't think you're going to be able to do anything anymore for God. Well, I just want you to pray. And later on, another pastor came by. He was going to start a work in the nearby, and he just came by to visit the family. And she told, of course, like she told everyone, her prayer request. I want to be able to do something for God. And he prayed. And halfway through the prayer, he said, Mrs. Gibbs, I know what you can do. You can teach my Sunday school class. Oh, she was so excited. And she started practicing with her kids, getting ready and doing the lesson. I mean, it was very difficult. I mean, they had to tie her up there. And very, very complicated way. And it just was so uncomfortable for everyone and for her. But she was excited. She had a ministry. And the first service, nobody came. It was just her kids. Of course, they'd already heard the lesson so many times while she was practicing it, and they were not very impressed. And she said, well, we need to get more kids. We need to get more kids to come to church. And they tried to get a couple people, but there was no way to really get them to church. She said, we need to get a bus. And so she told her son, I want you to take me to the bus station, to the bus company over there. You guys heard the story? I'm telling you a story that you've already heard. No, okay. And she said, Brother Gibbs, I think he was old enough to drive and stuff. She's like, Mom, I don't think they're giving away buses over there. And she said, well, I believe God's going to do something. And she goes in there. And real nice secretary met her. Well, before she was in there, her son dropped her trying to get her out of the car. And it was just excruciating pain. He was crying because he caught his arm on the door and dropped her. And she was crying out of utter pain. And he's like, Mom, this isn't of God, you know. This can't be of God. Let's just go home. And she said, no, I prayed. And God's going to give us a bus. Goes in there. And a secretary met her, and she said, ma'am, we'd like to have a bus for Sunday. And she's like, you want to rent a bus? No, we need you to give us the bus for Sunday. And she said, The secretary says, no one's ever asked us for that before, but let me get the manager. So she calls the manager. The manager comes down there. And she said, Mrs. Gibbs repeated her request, we need a bus. And she said, ma'am, we've never given away buses. We're not going to start now. Thank you for coming. I realize, you know, what you're trying to do, but the answer is no, I'm sorry. And she says, okay, just one more question. Are you the owner of the buses? And he says, well, no, I just administer. I'm the owner. I just do everything for him. Well, no wonder, she says, you can't give me a bus because they're not the bus. You're not the owner of the buses. And, well, the secretary really got in. Like, yeah, you can't give them away. I can't give them away. No one can give away but the owner. And, you know, and she's like, I'm going to call up the owner. Secretary calls up the owner. And the manager said, I don't believe it. The owner's coming down. And the owner says, hi, Mrs. Gibbs. And she told him what she wanted. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm sorry. I really appreciate it. And I only came down because I wanted to see. I saw you fall. And I saw your guys' tears that we're just not going to give any buses away. And she said, well, God's going to be really upset with you one day. And that just froze him right there. And he said, what do you mean? And she explained what she wanted it for. He said, okay, I'll give you one bus for one Sunday and one driver. And the next Sunday, I believe he gave them three buses and three drivers. And that became one of the biggest Sunday schools in Texas just because of one lady who was stepping off of the faith of a starter. She took the faith of her parents and what they taught her, and she was able to take a huge bite out of God's promises and do a great work for God because she stepped off of the faith of the starters. Solomon was a stepper. He built off of the faith of who? His father David. Elisha was able to do double of what Elijah did. He was stepping off of the faith of Elisha stepped off the faith of Elijah. Joshua. Who did Joshua step off of? It was Joshua's teacher. Moses, right? Joshua stepped off of the faith of Moses and was able to do a great work there. And we know the concept very well. The more you have, the more you have to invest. And the more you get back, right? You know, you make some money and you buy a tool that can even make more money, right? And then you can make more money and buy a bigger tool or buy some land or whatever. Because the more you invest, the more you can come, more comes back, the more you can make. And this church has been given a great, big, huge inheritance of all. Someone of all the starters, and just a huge inheritance that we've been given. I've been given a huge inheritance. The church in Riverview has been given a huge inheritance. But it's our decision if we're going to build off of that inheritance or not. We can take that inheritance. So many people get an inheritance. Oh, they're whatever, so-and-so died, or their uncle died, and they get an inheritance. Oh, boy. And instead of taking that inheritance and using it, investing it, building their wealth, they go on a spending spree. They go on vacation, and they blow their inheritance. It's gone. What happens? Do the grandkids get to take advantage of that inheritance? It's gone. It ain't around anymore. They blew it all. And I believe that's what so many are doing. We've inherited a huge inheritance of faith. We have the opportunity to step off of that foundation, step off of that starter's faith, and do a great work for God. But instead, we blow it all. We blow it all. And you know who's going to pay the consequences? Our kids. We're happy. We're saved. We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. Our name's written in the book of life, praise God. But we're not going to do anything with the faith of our fathers. We blow it. Instead of stepping off it, we just drop it. We drop the baton. Was David perfect? He did really bad things. How about Elijah? Was Elijah perfect? God, man, he was there crying his eyes out and doesn't, oh, I'm the only guy who's doing anything around here, you know, for me. And, oh, God, just kill me. Oh, Eeyore. How about Moses? Was he perfect? But what did their students build off of? What did they build off? They build off the bad parts? Oh, they didn't build off of the bad parts. They built off the good parts. They said, yeah, my dad had problems. Yeah, Moses had problems. Yeah, Elijah had problems. But you know what? I'm not going to pick those bad parts to build off of. I'm going to pick the good parts and build off of them. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. First Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is what? Good. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Many times we do the exact opposite. We get excited for a little bit about, you know, a church or what's going on in a church, or get excited about someone or something, and we're really following and doing a work there until we find a little problem. We find a problem. And what do? We just drop it all. Just drop it all and start from scratch. Instead of building off of the good things, we find something that's not right and we just drop it all. Joshua could have done the same thing. Elisha could have done the same thing. What do you mean? Just started, you know, not believing God anymore, and Solomon could have done the same thing. Could have, like, my family's a mess. What am I going to keep doing the right thing for? Why am I going to continue this work my dad started? And he could have just dropped everything. And so many people are doing that. They see one little problem and they throw their inheritance away. Let's look here in 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19. And it's hard when you start from scratch again. You know, you really don't have any idea when someone farther down the line in the family tree is going to decide to be a starter again. Go against the current. And start, it might not happen ever again till Jesus, might not come before Jesus comes back. That's why it's so important that we learn to step off of a faith. We don't look for the problems and just call it quits. It says here, 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concern the faith, have made shipwreck. So many are jumping ship and not using their inheritance. So, what are we going to be? Someone started something here. Someone started something that affected our lives. What are we going to do? Are we going to step off of it? Are we going to stop it? Say, you know what? It's stopping with me. Let's finish here in Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Says, Hebrews 12:1, saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So imagine, all these starters, they started something. They had the courage to step out in faith and do something Because they had their eyes on the finisher. They had their eyes on Jesus. But what do? We get our eyes off of that, and we start looking for problems, and we stop looking at Jesus, and we throw our inheritance away. And I can just imagine my dad Bond, my mom, all up in heaven, you know, looking at me and thinking, you know, I gave you a foundation. I taught Sarah this. I taught you this. I prayed for you. And they're all looking at me and saying, is William going to take the steps? Is he going to step up off of what we built, off of the foundation that we gave him, Jesus Christ? Or is he just going to blow his inheritance? Is he going to step or is he going to stop? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the stars. Thank you for your Son who started this all. Thank you for the faith of Abraham, believed God. Help us also, Lord, to step out like he did. Start new things. Start believing that you can do a work in our lives. You can do a work in this place. That you can heal. And Lord, I pray that we would step off of the faith of others. And that we wouldn't be someone who stops and says, no more, it's stopping with me. But that we would step off of it and lead a good example for our kids, that they'd be able to step off of our faith, and that we'd be able to do a great work for you. I ask these things in Jesus' name.